Is Jason on?
He ran to use the bathroom. Oh, and he's back.
And I'm back.
I am saying, check Damon, it. We're getting a lot of your breathing. Check heavy to breathing. Make sure the mic is not too...
Damon, you need to stop with all your heavy panting.
Well, nah. That better?
It's perfect.
Fucking Darth Damon.
What's up, Huda Nation, and thanks for joining us on the Dome Patrol podcast. I'm your host, Jeff, and I'm not drunk, but I am drinking a beer. Got me a good old Abita Big Easy IPA. So last episode, we talked a lot about Saints receivers Joe Horn and Marcus Colston, but since then, a recent fan favorite has signed a one-day contract so that he could retire a Saint. So let's now raise a glass, take a sip of our drinks. To Lance Moore. Not so fast, Tiger Woods. You've had one too many already.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah, we could talk about both of those topics and more on this week's jam-packed episode.
Jamming.
So put your seatbelts on, keep your hands and legs inside your earbuds at all times, and enjoy the show. Jason, welcome to the show. What's your number?
I'll go with a one. I also have a beer. Had a little cocktail earlier when I was cooking dinner, but just got a beer now.
Very good.
A little light and easy.
Yeah. Well, it's going to be light and easy through the show. Damon, welcome to the show. How you feeling?
I'm feeling all right, Jeff. How are you?
Oh, pretty light and easy.
The episode title, Light and Easy?
Maybe so. All right. Pretty much everything can be summed up into just actually a few topics, but the first topic's going to be a long one. And that is fake news.
Am I making this presentation directly to the American people with the media present, which is an honor to have you this morning, because many of our nation's reporters and folks will not tell you the truth. Russia is a ruse. It's all fake news. It's all a ruse. Not true. It's all fake news. Russia is a ruse. Fake. It's all fake news. The news is fake because so much of the news is fake. One of the reasons I'm here today.
So our first fake news headline is, in fact, Lance Moore's retirement. So this came out today?
Today, yeah.
Signs a little contract to retire a Saint. Good. I like that he did that.
Yeah, I do like when players do that. They sign the one-day contract to ceremoniously go off with their favorite team. Yeah, look, I mean, Lance Moore was a very productive and popular player. During our great run from, you know, 9 to...
I mean, technically, he was on the team before...
Yeah, no, he was. Yeah, he was a Jim Haslett...
Practice squad guy.
Right. You know, pickup. Mm-hmm. And I think he was in the NFL Europe for a while, wasn't he?
No, I don't know where he was before he got here.
No, I mean, back then, I think that's what you did. That's where they played in NFL Europe to get a little practice under their belt. But yeah, we all love Lance Moore, man. How could you not, you know... Love the dancing and the...
The greatest two-point conversion in NFL history?
Yes.
Dancing, though. My favorite dance that he did was the...
Key and
the
Peele.
One off of Key and Peele. Yeah, with the hip thrusts. The,
right. Which I think
you can
we
do two, but you can't do three.
Which right. I think we discussed back in episode, 178.
When
something.
He did it?
Yeah.
I'm actually looking at a meme of it right now.
Yeah.
No, he's a good guy. I'm glad that he, you know, wanted to retire a Saint.
Yeah.
It's even better than when he signed with Atlanta and then bailed on him.
Right. Well, we all remember why he had to bail.
Because it's fucking Atlanta.
Well, because of the smell of shit in their locker room was too overpowering for him. He couldn't stay in there. Matt Ryan's, you know, poopy pants were all over the place in their locker room.
So, and then what's funny, you know how he got to the Saints?
How was that?
He was an undrafted free agent by the Cleveland Browns who said he'd amount to nothing.
Well, there goes the Browns with their spot on
right?
draft analysis.
aren't the Browns the same team that did the same thing with Snead?
Are they?
Because Snead had signed somewhere first.
You're right.
Either undrafted with their first, got released, came here, and then made. And it's, I mean, same exact type of receiver.
The Browns have this uncanny ability to find great receivers for the Saints.
It's like, oh, we have another Lance Moore? And we don't need him. New Orleans, you know how to use guys like that. Why don't you take him?
So let's
That is wild. I mean, same team.
It was,
same...
in fact, the Cleveland Browns in 2014 for that undrafted free agent, Willie Snead, Cleveland Browns.
What? You wonder why Cleveland's been so bad since he came back.
They're good players.
Well, they were more worried about finding quarterback number 37.
But he did actually, though, from Cleveland, he did go to the Panthers. Like he did a tryout with the Giants, ended up signing with the Panthers, but then ended up a Saint several months later.
And the rest is history.
That's right. Anyway, this was about Lance Moore, not Willie Snead.
That's right. Yeah, I love. Yeah, I always love. And he was a lot of the Saints players, current, a few current and former, tweeted out how awesome it is, how great of a teammate he was. And it's nice that he can come back and do that. And look, in the NFL, when careers are so short, a lot of times you see franchise stalwarts having to sign elsewhere at the end of their career just because they need to be looking for a job.
Yeah.
Well, they're looking for money, you know.
Well, job money. I mean, that's what you look for a job for, to get paid.
Is he looking, right? Nobody does a job for free. It's called volunteerism.
It's called podcasting.
All right. Another fake news headline came to the Saints Hall of Fame. It announced that, what is it? Is it Carl Nix? Jonathan Vilma?
Carl Nix and Vilma, yeah.
Are going to march. In when I guess technically there's going to be a regular season game that they're going to be featured, right?
I thought it would the weekend of like October 8th, 9th, 30th. I thought was the game where they're going to be officially inducted and they'll be on the field and have their unveil their portraits like all the guys do who go to the Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, no surprises. I mean, two stalwarts. I mean, you could argue in Nix's time here, he was better than Jari. I mean, they were both all pros. But yeah.
Wasn't Nix the one that went to Tampa Bay and got Mercer or something?
He sure did. That he sure him. Did. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, he only spent 4 years here, but with a hell of a player for us.
Yeah, all pro, just dominant. Yeah. I was really disappointed to see him leave. Especially when he gets Mercer 2 years later. I'm like, dude, just take... $2 million less, and your career is salvaged. Because I mean, that was it for him. I mean, that's kind of crazy how dominant he was.
Did he play a down for Atlanta?
He played.
I mean, for Tampa.
That first season, I thought he played maybe not every game, but I think he got injured at some point. But he played. I thought a majority of the games that first year, and then he contracted MRSA the next season, and that was it. Just poof, done. You know, got a lot of guaranteed money, obviously, with that deal. So he should be okay financially. But man, I mean, if he stays here and yeah, he's clearly not going to get MRSA, and his career is extended by another 5-6 years. One of those crazy situations. I mean, you remember what happened with when LaCharles Bentley went to Cleveland? He signed a big deal in Cleveland and then tore his knee up, and he got infected, and he ended up suing. And he never played it. He never played it down. No. He never played another down the rest of his career.
That's what happens when you leave the Saints.
Right. If your offensive lineman's sticking around, I mean, look, Streif has been able to last 11 or 12 years.
Right. And we'll get to that in a minute about his. So I'm sitting here reading some of these quotes from Vilma from an interview, I guess, about it. And I'm getting goosebumps as I read. You know, some of the things he was saying about it when he got to the Saints, he says he was a breath of fresh air. You know, him being referred to as the Drew Brees of the defense, he said was the greatest compliment he could get because, you know, when the fans would tell him that, he's like, Drew Brees was the best teammate I've ever had. And to get that kind of compliment just kind of fueled it even more. He's just talking about how the team gelled so quickly and how he talked about Pierre Thomas as one person, not one person couldn't tackle him. He was always breaking a tackle. that's just about him and what's inside of him. They have to have so many guys on the same team like that was really special. And you think about it, like the team just clicked and met, everything just aligned for that season. Shit,
well, remember
13-0.
But I mean, even the season before when we traded for him, I remember. I mean, even though our defense was still mediocre, you could see the difference that Vilma made that first year.
Yeah.
I mean, he couldn't help that we were stuck with Kevin Casehorn at safety, blowing coverages.
No.
Minnesota game, bullshit. But I mean, you could just tell the difference that he made when he got here, and you know, he still chaps my ass that he was suspended that whole year by fucking asshole Goodell.
And he was hurt. He was hurt that year also.
I mean, I know. Well, he was hurt the next year when he came back. Right. He was hurt that next year, yeah.
Well, he was hurt the year he was suspended. He wouldn't have played anyway. The year he was suspended. So, I mean, yeah, look, you know, the game caught up to him. It happened. But, no, when he was healthy and in his prime, look, that's what happens when you have, I don't know if I want to call him great. I mean, I don't think he's a Hall of Famer, NFL Hall of Fame.
No.
But NFL, no. No, he's not.
But you know, I mean, he was the second best middle linebacker we've ever had.
And I still think, I mean, I've said it before, I think what he meant to the team when he was here, I think he deserves Saints Hall of Fame is a given. I think he should go in the Ring of Honor. Because of what he meant.
Vilma?
Because of what he meant when he was here.
Yeah. All right, so then the other piece, the other induction, or whatever you want to call it, is Jay Romig is getting the annual, what's the award called? Have you seen this? Have you heard about this? Hang on.
I think this is probably Damon's forte, right?
Well, it's part of the Saints Hall of Fame kind of thing. It's the Gamelli Fleur-de-Lis Award, which is given annually to a person who's contributed to the betterment of the Saints organization. And Romig did say that when his dad received the award, that season the Saints won the Super Bowl. So just throw it out there. When you give a Romig a Fleur-de-Lis Award, good things happen.
Oh, please, no, God. Please do it.
Yeah, Jay is a super nice guy. He does everything for the Saints organization. I mean, there's nothing, you know, if you ever look, like, at pictures of Mr. Benson, like, when they were going through that ugly trial a couple of years ago or wherever, Jay's always there with Mr. B, you know, just a jack of all trades for the organization, and he deserves it. He deserves to be recognized for what he does, you know. So that is nice. One of the nicest guys you ever want to meet too.
Okay. Absolutely. Okay, that's gonna be our Saints Hall of Fame updates. Now we do into Saints OTAs began since our last episode.
Hey, I'm just happy there were no injuries last week.
I was gonna say highlights include
no injuries. It's OTAs, no pads, kind of run throughs. I know one of the things, Michael Thomas has supposedly gained 10 or 15 pounds. I think he's noticeably a little bit bigger.
Is that a good thing?
I mean, it depends. It could be, you know, 10 pounds of muscle, you know. I mean,
not 10 pounds of fat like Kelvin Benjamin over in Carolina.
Well, you know what?
25 pounds of fat.
Well, I'm looking here. Considering he was 210 last year, and he's coming in at 220, yeah, I'll say that's okay.
I mean, it's fine. It's not like he was the fastest guy. He used his body to get good leverage. So. Whatever. I mean, I don't have any reason to not like it.
All right.
But it's so hard to look. It's, thanks, Darth.
What are you gonna just blow into the mic every time you don't want Jason to say something?
Oh,
you know, hearing Jason talk.
That's Damon's new strategy.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, the thing about him coming in 10 pounds heavier, maybe that shows you how no news is good news. And that if that's the news coming out of the camp or out of OTAs, then that's a good sign.
Right. The only thing I care about is no injuries.
Nobody got in a fight.
Right. Well, that's what someone had told me earlier. Oh, you know, OTA, they wish we get more news. And that's what I said. Look, an OTA, the only news you get is someone hurt themselves. That's the, you know. Nothing else, you know. What are you going to say? So-and-so looks so great in pads? Ooh, wonderful.
But yeah. not even pads, right? They weren't even in pads.
Well, I mean, I think they're, are they in shells?
Maybe shells, but not bull pads.
Well, no. Seldom do they participate in bull pads.
That's not going to be until training camp. So, yeah, you're going to have OTAs. People are craving coverage, yeah. So you're going to have articles
but
out.
You know, some of the video I saw of AD was kind of nice. He looked, I mean, look, he had two knee surgeries over the last 3 years, but he looked crisp and was moving around with no hesitation.
Okay, can we do something right here? Can we not call him AD, please?
His nickname is AD. I don't know. I can't change history.
Just call him Peterson. There's only one AD in this city, and it's not Adrian Peterson.
Well, his name is AD, and until he proves me wrong, I'll call him AD.
He hasn't even played a fucking down for the Saints, and you're already fucking.
Well, no, what? So I'm supposed to ignore what he did in Minnesota?
It's not part of our franchise. Let's see what he does
well,
here.
But isn't that why we drafted him?
I didn't think we. I didn't think we drafted him.
I mean, no.
I'm sorry. We already have an AD in the city. I'm not calling him AD.
Why can't we have two?
Well, no
ADs?
One gives. No one gives a fuck what you do, really. In case you hadn't wondered.
Okay, fine. We're just telling people.
No one gives a fuck what you do.
You'll never see me.
We don't care. That's nice that we never see you. That's a bonus. You promise?
You don't care. Neil cares.
What I want to know is, like, maybe I just don't pay attention to the guy until he gets to the Saints, but I didn't know he was so adamant about being called AD. I mean, I know he likes his little nickname to be All Day, but, like, your initials are AP. Like, does he really actually correct people and say, call me AD?
I think he does.
I have no idea. All I know is Courtney, I played golf with Courtney yesterday, and he said when he first saw Peterson at the facility, like, he's... Because I remember Courtney told the story about the first time he saw Darren Sproles, and he's like, he didn't even know... Sproles didn't even look like a football player. He was tiny, whatever. He saw Peterson, and he really wanted to ask him to take off his shirt so he could see him.
Oh, boy.
Why?
Because he's so built. Like, he's built, he's cut. He's a physical specimen.
All right.
And Courtney wanted to see that in person?
It's a joke. God damn it.
I'm asking your question.
See how he says it.
Yeah, right. Uh-huh.
I didn't know Courtney was that kind of guy.
So, look, I mean, and that's a good
but
thing
for
Peterson.
He's the most ripped cut.
Well, just even though he's 32 years old.
Not a shred of body fat on him.
He takes care of his body, and he's just an athletic freak.
Good. Let's hope his knees hold up.
Yes.
Everything is in tip-top shape, except his knees.
Basically, a snake don't have parts. But if I had to call it anything, I would say it's his knee.
Let's get into... Oh, so you mentioned Zach Strieff earlier, and another piece of fake news there. Zach Strieff did sign an extension with the Saints, and now he's the highest paid offensive lineman in the history of the organization. Is that right?
Jesus Christ, shut up. No. Fake news!
Yeah, I mean, I don't think you got any of that correct, did you?
Exactly. The segment is called fake
he
news.
Was, yeah, it's called fake news. I get to get. That's why I wanted to change the segment so I can get everything right. Wrong.
Right. So that way Jeff can make a mistake and it doesn't matter. Can he just fall back on fake news?
Fake news. Nah, but really, he did get a raise.
He got a raise. That's it.
Yeah. It wasn't even extension.
Right. Not an extension. They just gave him a raise. I mean, that's the damnedest thing I've ever seen. I mean, look, right. Good for a Strieff, but. I think he wanted to give him more money.
That's weird.
Why?
That is weird. Who knows? He just gave him more money this year.
Yeah, his cap hit goes from 5.1 to 6.1 million as a result of this.
Right, this year.
And he's got a 5.1 cap charge for 2018 as well. What was his cap charge going to be for 2018? If they did
no, it stayed the same. What next year stayed the same.
It's always going to be 5.1.
It only affected this year. They gave him more money this year.
It's just literally, we have extra cash laying around. Why don't we give it to Zach Strieff?
Yep. That is the... Yep.
Yep.
What you just said is one of the most insanely idiotic things I have ever heard.
I mean,
again, I'm glad. I mean, he deserves it, but it is a weird move, right?
Could it be that it was in his contract that he would be due? No, all right. Could it be that he had pictures of Mickey Loomis and Sean Payton doing something that...
I mean, that would be a more likely reason, in my opinion, than
maybe Mickey did that, and this is backdoor agreement that Streep would give him like 5% of his new Port Orleans brewery business. I mean, like, I don't know. It was weird. Just a weird time. Normally, it's like you renegotiate and trim their number this year. It's like, no, here's some more money. We found this money laying around.
Okay. And when did that happen exactly? Was it yesterday?
It was last week.
Sometime, yeah.
One day last week.
So then why would the Giants blog, I guess, on yesterday post something that says don't rule out Zach Streif for...
Why are you reading? I don't know. It's
fucking as an option for the Giants.
I had no idea.
I mean, he was under contract. He had 2 years. We gave him more money this year. He couldn't have left, you know. He's too old to sit out, you know. I mean, who knows what they were thinking or why they said that. You read the article. Well, I mean.
Well, I'm looking. They're saying, interestingly, all right, so they're talking about Streif being old, 34. His cap number is a little over $6 million over the next 2 seasons, which includes a recent raise in pay. So they had the news. one of the biggest hurdles for a team like the Giants in an attempt to try to acquire an elite offensive tackle like Joe Thomas, the fact that they'd have to surrender a high draft choice and pay a premium salary. For a player like Streif, who was PFF's 12th best tackle last season, a team like the Giants would be getting a steal based on production.
But that whole thing sounds stupid. How are they going to get him? He's under contract.
Right. That's the thing. They don't go into any of that.
You know?
They just said how nice it would be. Oh, here we go. If Ramczyk proves to be stable enough at right tackle during July and August, it should not seem crazy at all that the Saints would look to deal Streif and take advantage of their riches on the offensive line. If so, the Giants should give it a good look. Could it be possible that they gave him more money in order to get more for him?
That has nothing to do with it. That's going to make it worse.
Right?
Right.
Right? Well, that sounds like Loomis math to me.
It doesn't make sense. Like, it's not like, I mean, we drafted, as I call him, Ramczyk, but I mean, Streif is going in as a starter. I mean, we're just looking better on the offensive line with the depth that we got in the draft. We're not going to just trade a guy away.
Right.
Unless Ramczyk clearly is like, holy shit, this kid is good. He can start from day one.
But why would you give Zach Streif a raise if you have that prospect? I mean, clearly the Saints have thought of that too. If this
no
fucking bullshit
knows.
Blogger.
We said, look, it's...
This guy might replace Streif. We better give Streif $1 million.
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know.
Okay.
Can't understand it.
I mean, I get what the Giants blogger gets to saying. It's wishful thinking. Right, and, you know... But if the Saints are so rich at offensive line, they're not going to just, you know, give Streif away. They're going to want something... In return.
Yeah.
I don't know. Fuck the Giants.
Right.
That's right.
That's what New York does. They post, they always do these crazy hypotheticals on getting Saints players.
Well, I don't know. I don't know if it's New York or with the Saints. You know, every year we're getting rid of Drew Brees and Sean Payton. You know, what the fuck? I
mean, right.
You know? Every year we're getting rid of we have a good player, we're going to get rid of him.
Because that's what everybody does. They get rid of their best players so that the Giants and the Jets can get them.
Right.
Yeah, fuck you guys. Okay. Next piece of fake news is Superdome enhancements. So a little article came out last week talking about the next wave of Superdome enhancements being pitched so that we can keep the Superdome on its path to maybe hosting another Super Bowl for that, really, if you want to get down to it, is it's got to be more state-of-the-art. Because what was it? We had gone 10 for 10 on Super Bowl bids, and then the last two we were overlooked.
Well, but again, the last two that we were overlooked for was NFL politics. The the Minnesota Vikings just built a new stadium, so that's who we lost to for this year. And
with it,
Atlanta is opening a brand new asshole, you know. So they got, you know, new stadiums. You get, you know, NFL is going to reward.
They're going to give you one.
States, right. They're going to reward you with the Super Bowl. And then the Saints, after those 2 years, you know, in 20 and 21 and 22, the Saints can't, or the Saints decline to compete because we have other things coming and we can't do it. You know, we can't host, we have conflicts. And even after L.A. had to pass on their Super Bowl, they pushed them back a year. Now, from the articles I read, that they came to New Orleans, even though Tampa at the select, New Orleans wasn't in the selection for that 2021 Super Bowl. Okay, New Orleans did not bid. Tampa came in second. LA had to be pushed back, and the NFL came to New Orleans to ask them, "Do you want it?" And we said according to the article I read, they looked at it and said, "Look, we can't, you know, logistically we can't do it. I forget what we have the." Either the national championship game or the Final Four or something. And so we declined. We said we can't do it that year. And then they gave it to their second choice from the bidders, who were Tampa. So they want. So that's a good sign to me.
Okay.
You know, the NFL still wanted to give it to New Orleans. Us losing our last two bids has nothing to do with the city or the dome or anything. It's just the fact that two new stadiums were built, two cities, you know. And look, next Super Bowl that they hand out, going to go to Las Vegas.
Probably.
It's not a, you know, I guess they can't come out and say it, but that's what happened. It's a win.
What do you think Vegas will put on the odds of that one?
You know, but that's who's going, you know.
Yeah, that makes sense. But at the same time, okay, so go into what you know about the Superdome enhancements that they do want to make over, what is it, the next 3 years, as well as signing the extension through 2025, is it?
Right. Now, again, if you read the articles the way I read it, and it sounds very smart, look, the Saints are still in the lease until 2025, but what they all said is, look, let's not wait till the deadline, and let's, you know, start getting everything moving. The dome needs to be improved. It's the second old...
yeah,
not the second oldest. It's more like the fourth or... I mean... Anyway, it's an older stadium. It needs, just like your house, okay? If you live in your house 40 years, you need to redo your bathrooms and your kitchens and your floors. You know, it's just fucking life. So, yeah, they want to do some improvements and not wait to the deadlines upon us. And I think that's a great idea from both the Saints and the state. It's a state asset that they're improving that brings in multiple concerts and events and everything, you know, so I think it's wonderful. Now, the improvement they talked about, wanting to put some sort of translucent skin on the dome so you could see outside,
or even I saw like getting rid of the two ramps on Poydras and making like a glass, like big entrance,
right?
Like change the entrance into it, getting rid of a couple of the parking garages, just to make a better tailgating experience.
To make a better tailgate, yeah.
Right, instead of just being the concrete jungle that it is.
Right. I mean, okay, if that's what they want to do.
Yeah, whatever. I look at this as, now, I mean, going in, look, with the way the state's budget is, I don't know where they're going to have to be creative to come up with the money. I mean,
well,
the Saints are going to have to put in. The NFL's going to have to put in, and then the state's going to have to put in. But it's a hell of a lot cheaper alternative than building a new stadium, which, A, I mean, where the fuck are you going to put it? I mean, unless it's...
The only place you have to put it is by the convention center. By the convention center. And that wouldn't be terrible. I mean, you're not that far away from everything.
No, I mean, it's a better option than having to go out to, like, fucking New Orleans East but
that would just be stupid. You know, and look, the Superdome is in the black every year.
The black and gold.
It makes money, you know. So you say that the
NFL... because there's no debt on it.
Well, right. I mean, but also, you look
at... But there's
the
cost of keeping the lights on and all that.
Well, right, and they charge fees for when they have concerts and events, and, you know, and that pays for all that. But you also have...
Things that make business work.
Right. So, yeah, building a new stadium... again, the dome is in the perfect place. I mean, my God, goodness, how easy is it to walk? You know, again, every time we have a Super Bowl or any event, you know, they people love it because you don't need a car. You know, you come in, you get your hotel room, and you can walk to the dome. You can walk to, you can walk to, any, you know. Wait,
did you mention
the warehouse district? The
yeah.
Did you mention in the article where they that's what you know they kind of said was like there's not a whole lot of support for building a new stadium that everybody agrees that like Superdome is it.
It's right. A spot in addition to what the going rate for stadiums are, which would be, it would be at least $1.5 billion and like
right.
Which,
well, like, and just
yeah, don't have that money.
It'd be stupid.
Yeah, right. Yeah. We don't have that kind of money to throw around.
No, look, the only thing where the dome okay, like one of the stadium that's older than the Superdome and one of the detractors are the way it's built. When the Superdome was built, it was built for baseball and football and concerts and everything else. So you go to Arrowhead, which we just all went to. Now, our seats in the terrace in Arrowhead were great, right?
Yeah.
I mean, those were great. Perfect. Yeah. Now, those comparable seats in the dome, you're a lot further away. You know, you're a lot further away, and yeah, you can't get premium prices. In the Superdome, there's too many seats in the terrace.
So they're going to do something about that?
I don't think.
I don't know that they can. I mean, you can't. The structure right. is there. I don't know right. what you can.
But that is one thing I would always say. Like, I feel like in the dome, the seats are really far away from the field.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot more distance between the sideline mm-hmm. and the yep. first row than any other stadiums.
Right.
And maybe that's because it was built for much more than just football. But
right. And San Francisco used to have that same problem. Remember when they played in Old Candlestick because it was a W stadium?
Yeah.
And, you know, so those older stadiums like that now – you're building baseball-specific stadiums, football-specific stadiums, you know, where 40, 50 years ago they were trying to...
One stadium you know, for the whole
right,
city.
Right, one stadium, right.
Right.
So so that's one thing in the dome that I'm an architect. I don't know what they can do. I don't know what they can tear down and build back up inside, you know, the shell. But you're going to always have to do that. So, but some of the things they want to, you know... These renovations, they want to, it seems like to me, how I read, do more for the people in the terrace. But the last couple of renovations have been for the Loge and the Plaza. Now, Jason,
that's right.
you're up in the terrace. Have you seen a lot of advancements, you know, in your area over the last several years?
Not really. Seats are the same.
Right.
I mean, you know, the concessions were updated, but that was all updated with everything else together. Nothing else is any different.
Right. Right. What they did in the Plaza was really, really nice. They did expand the concourse. They, you know, and added more seats. Remember, they used to have that big gap between the seats.
Yeah.
And the concourse, they closed that in to make the concourse nice and bigger, you know, because that would get congested like a sunbase down there.
Well, So the new enhancements have not been really announced in detail.
No, no. Well,
we don't know.
No, they're still kind of trying to negotiate.
Yeah. Well, no.
And then, but they do want to use this as also a way to lock the Saints in for another.
Right. Right.
Yeah. I mean, you're right. I mean, you extend the life of the dome for another 15, mm-hmm. 20 years, whatever it is.
And I love that they want to do this, but instead of waiting until the last year, like Drew Brees and the Saints, you know, typically do.
Right.
Then. This is kind of like saying, you know, we're not going to make it like a pressure cooker.
Right. And look, we'll be talking about this in 6 more months, because if you read the article, that's what it said. All they've done is they have commissioned a study to, you know, to see what can be improved and how much it would cost. So once they get the study in, there's a lot of upgrades that need to be done in the dome that we as fans will never see.
Right. Right.
You know, piping and electrical and stuff like that, that we'll never get the benefit out of, but the stadium needs it, you know, it needs the upgrade. So,
the guts.
You know, right. And again, as far as seeing outside, I don't care. I don't,
I mean, I think it's not necessarily seeing outside, but a way to let maybe some more natural light from outside get in.
Light is light. I don't care if it's natural or a bulb. It's light, you know. I like what they did. I like that now they can turn the lights on and off. You know, that's nice.
I think it would be nice.
Tailgate, again, I don't care. We talked about it when we went to Kansas City. Yes, if we had a situation like Kansas City, you're forced to tailgate because you're not close to anything.
Yeah.
Right, you're out in the big parking lot. What do you see?
Right, in the big parking lot, out from the city. You know, what were we, 5-10 miles from the city, you know?
Yeah,
at least.
As right. The crow flies.
So, you know, and Jason does this more so than I even. But, you know, when Jason goes down there, he goes to Lucy's and he, you know, walks through the warehouse district, you know. So there's a lot more options. So tailgating, some people love to tailgate. I was at the Zephyr game, the Baby Cakes. I was at the Baby Cakes game Sunday, and there were people, only one, tailgating at a Baby Cakes game.
Right.
You know?
People like to tailgate. So for those who like to do that, God bless them. Hey, look, yeah, let's make some space for them to do that. But I don't think you need this, you know. I don't think it's the demand is there, like we said, like a Kansas City where
New Orleans, though, tailgating. I mean, I've read a few people kind of comment like how, you know, their tailgate spot has been moved 3 times over the last several years because they'd be building condos. So, like, parking lots are starting to become less available.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
That's you're right. I mean, look, where we used to tailgate back in 6, 7, 8, 9, those lots are all gone because they built all the South Market buildings, all the shops, restaurants. Right. Plus, you have the.
So, if you're going to displace people, then give them a spot around the dome.
You also have the increase of people who aren't even driving in anymore. They're just going to take Uber or take something like that. There isn't quite as much.
Well, they can go to Champion Square because they're not bringing tailgate equipment.
We're talking about people who are going to bring cooking equipment and tents.
Where are you going to put them?
Right.
Right. As many places anymore.
Right. That's what I'm saying. Is the tailgaters who are bringing shit, not the people. Like you're right. New Orleans tailgating has a lot of show up and hang out at Champion Square. All you got to do is bring money. But we're talking about
that's too fucking expensive.
My point is that you've got to also accommodate the people who want to bring a tent and cook all day.
Yes, you have to accommodate the cheapskates out there.
Well, shit. I don't think being upset about paying $9 for a 12-ounce beer is being a cheapskate.
Right. Exactly. I'm just not fucking stupid.
Right.
How about that?
Yeah, I'm not sure that's
what that says. I'm not sure what that says,
but you know.
All right.
People like to go down.
We've got to move on, though. We got a big show.
But one of the things, hold on, that I didn't mention, it would be cool. And again, I have no idea. I'm not an engineer. But if they could replace.
Well, then shut the fuck up.
The dome, you know, the top of the dome with some sort of plexi. You know, we don't need a retractable roof, but just replace, you know, I like air conditioning.
But you didn't care about the natural light.
No, I don't, but it would just be cool. It would just be cool to have an indoor stadium with a translucent.
I'll tell you why top. I don't like that you know, idea. I'm not an engineer either.
Why you do or do not?
I'll tell you why I don't. I'm going to play devil's advocate. I'm not an engineer either.
Well, you don't go to games, but go ahead.
Right. Well, it's not about me. It's about the players and whatnot. What a plexiglass and the sun shining at the wrong angle could create a glare and hit somebody in the eyes when they're trying to catch the ball.
It happened that, look, you know, that happens at all the other stadiums we play at. You know?
No. So if you put a glass acts as a prism.
You think it's like a magnifying glass?
That's where it's going to burn.
What if the sun make the whole dome catch on fire? Is that what you're saying?
I'm thinking more along the lines of there's a glare that's coming off of that glass. That's probably why it doesn't happen.
Right. How about if the sun is directly in your face? Did that create a glare?
That's not as bad as an amplified glare. The prism makes it worse. Okay. It burns retina.
What a player, you know, spontaneously combusted. Right. Like,
we can't hit all day in his weak knees. All right. So then the last piece of news, I'm not going to say this one's fake news out of respect, but we do want to mention Cortez Kennedy's death.
Yeah, wow, only 48 years old. Wow, just kind of sudden. And he had, you know, being big with the organization. I always remember the picture from the Super Bowl week of Peyton and Breeze with Parcells and Cortez Kennedy. He was godfather to one of Mickey Loomis's kids. And I remember, like, Damon texted, like, what was the connection? Well, you know, he was in Seattle when Loomis was still in Seattle before coming here. You know, late 90s, early 2000s.
So, right, so him and Loomis were close.
Yeah, we're close. And they're wearing 96 on the helmets during OTAs. Gotta remember him. Just crazy and sudden.
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, he was a hell of a lineman and had a great career. Had they announced what got him?
No, I haven't seen it.
No, I haven't seen it.
Are they going to look at his head for concussion related?
I don't think so.
No, I don't think that's it. It's probably one of these linemen. I mean, some of them have trouble taking the weight off, like Willie Rofe. I mean, Willie Rofe's pretty big these days. And look, human bodies aren't meant to carry around 300 pounds. They're just not.
Well, some people are.
If you're 6'10", maybe.
Yeah. Well, I mean, muscle
weight isn't that fat. But not like a 6'1" guy, 300-something pounds.
Well.
Yeah, but anyway.
All right. Well, there you go. All right, let's move into looking at him tweets. All right, got a few of these to run through, and then we'll get into NFL Reach Round. But first, let's talk about this one from Nick at NRG314. Love to hear where you guys stand on Super Bowl era receivers aside from Colson, like Henderson, Meacham, and Lance Moore. So last week we went a long time on this. Just maybe a little quick, like Henderson, Devery Henderson, Robert Meacham. We talked a little bit about Lance Moore retiring already.
Meacham, you know, was good, but I felt like he never lived up to first-round billing.
The only thing I really will remember Meacham for is the Washington strip touchdown.
You mean the Meach-around?
Yes. The Meach-around. I mean, he did all right that year, and that's about all I
mean, look, he was very instrumental, clearly, in the Super Bowl season, and he had some good seasons. Now, again, maybe it's... like we said before, maybe it's the way the Saints offense is, where we spread it around more, and you know, he's not going to get the volume that he would have gotten possibly someplace else.
Yeah.
But he's a good receiver, but
was a good receiver.
Right.
I love Devery Henderson on this team. Fantastic. Deep threat.
Well, yeah, I mean, deep threat. He blew the top off the defense. I think both of those guys fit perfectly into what Sean Payton wanted to do.
And also, he did make a lot of strides because eventually, especially towards, you know, like midway and later on in his Saints career, he got a lot more reliable. And coming out of college, you know, he had the speed, he had the tools, he had fucking hands of stone. Like, he could not catch the ball. No. And with the work from Curtis Johnson, really developed into a pretty reliable receiver here.
Yep. And having one of the most accurate quarterbacks in NFL history doesn't hurt.
That helps.
Yep.
Putting the ball in your hands, that's pretty...
Yeah, who do you have throwing in the ball at LSU?
Oh, Flynn, right? Was it Flynn?
I don't know.
Oh, no. No,
was it Jamar?
The Bluegrass Miracle. Who's the quarterback? Marcus Randall.
Yeah.
So. But remember, we drafted him in the second round. He didn't play his first year here.
There you go.
I mean, that was stunning when he, like, what the fuck? How does he not get on the field? He's a second round pick.
Yep. All right, and then staying with the receiver concept, we're going to go to Who Dat Fitz's tweet. Is there any receivers in the league that you would trade Michael Thomas for? Call me crazy, but I say no, just because of his age and potential.
I'll trade.
I have to agree with that.
Wait, come on. You wouldn't trade him for Julio Jones straight up?
Oh. How old is Julio?
What was he, the 2011 draft? So he's probably 27. He's still got another.
Yeah. I mean, for what we need now, right? Because, you know, we're in kind of, you know,
5 years.
The last run for Drew. Yeah, that Julio would be nice, but I mean, as far as like
you wouldn't trade him for Odell Beckham.
Nope.
Antonio Brown.
Mm.
Really? Come on.
No, I mean, definitely not Odell Beckham. Definitely not Odell Beckham.
Take your Saints blinders off for a second. Look, I love Michael Thomas, but take your Saints blinders off.
Well, no, but you have to look at what the tweet said. You know, look, for Thomas, you know, the potential and the youth, you know.
You know, Beckham's not old.
No, but Beckham's not old, but Beckham is a problem off the field. Sean Payton would never have him on his team.
That's a good point.
You know, I like Antonio Brown.
He's got a little too much Joe Horn in him.
Yeah, you know, Julio Jones, I respect him as a football player. The fact that he played with Atlanta, he can fuck himself. But I would take him if he became available, you know. But, yeah, but Michael Thomas, there's a lot of potential upside and excitement for this kid, you know, right now. So you never know. In 5 years, I guess what the guy is saying on Twitter, I mean, you know, in 3 years, maybe Michael Thomas is in the same conversation with those guys.
God, I hope so.
Jeez. How great would that be?
But again, in a Sean Payton offense, you don't put, you know, you're not going to put up those numbers.
Well, you normally wouldn't, but I mean, outside of Willie Snead, I mean, our third is Ted Ginn. Our receiving core is looking a little thin right now.
Yeah, no doubt. Yeah, we're not deep at all.
So we might have, you know, he might get more volume just because we don't have.
Not deep at all.
Right.
Didn't we say that our receiving core was looking thin last year and Drew Brees still threw for, what, 4,900 yards or something?
Yeah.
So, but simmer down.
Right.
All right, I'm gonna pass on tweets from Doug and Preston Allen because they're Tiger Woods related, and we're going to just do a segment on that. and then I'm going to read this one from Jay Caro saying, what are the chances of Breeze renewing his contract with the Saints?
Zero.
What?
I mean, what, re-signing or having a long-term deal?
I think he said renewing, but let's, you know, we know.
Basically
what
means, at some, whether it back. Be.
Well, you know.
I guess, does that mean signing an extension before the season?
I have a feeling.
He's not signing. He's let's not just signing.
Put it like, yeah, he ain't doing
You don't think, like, if we offered him a three-year deal with, like, 70
with 120, guys, right, with 200, if we offered him a three-year deal with $200 million, he would sign it 100%. But that's not what we want to offer.
He has said he's not interested in long-term deals anymore. He wants to play each year. So if he does anything at the end of this season, it's going to be for another year.
Hold on. If we offered him, if we just sit there and said, hey, look, here's 3 years. If we gave him $60 million guaranteed money, he would sign it.
Nope.
Bullshit.
Nope. He's looking what it's going to take to sign Drew Brees after this season. It's going to take $25 million. It's going to take between $22 and $25 million a year, 1 year deals, and he'll do 1 year deals until
right.
he retires.
And he'll end up if he plays for 3 years like that, he gets more than $60 million.
Right, and that's what I mean. That's it. That's what he wants.
Because he's doing it because you don't know what each season at this age is going to bring.
Okay, so
you don't want to have to play. What if he plays and he realizes his body can't recover the way it does? I mean, look at Brett Favre in his last few years.
Okay, well, let's say you go 3 years, $70 million guaranteed. So that's 23.
Okay, why would you do that?
Because if his body fails after year one or two, he's still got all this guaranteed money coming.
But
you're Mickey Loomis. Why are you doing that?
Because I want to keep around fucking Drew Brees.
And you're going to risk paying him $70 million for play 1 year?
I would. Fucking right, I would. I've said it before.
Well, you might get a job on Mickey Loomis' staff. Or if not, Ryan Pace will hire you.
Yeah, look, I'll just go give Zach Streif another $2 million. Just, I'll go sign him. I'll give it to him tomorrow.
You get a million. You get a million. Right. You get a million.
I mean, if Mickey were to
it'd be
offer
like Lloyd
that,
Christmas handing out the tips at the hotel. There you go. There you go.
Those are IOUs. He's good for it. Like, if Mickey goes to Drew and says, here's 3 years, $70 million guaranteed, Drew would be a fool to not sign.
All right, but that's not realistic. That's not going to happen.
How do you know? Because he just gave Zach Streif $500,000 for nothing.
Because
for nothing.
It's
just
not
going to
happen.
Probably not. But if it did, Brees would be a fool to not sign the dotted
and,
line.
He'd be a fool for the money, but it would screw the Saints organization because we
would
cannot
it?
Build
how,
a team
wait,
around
what
that.
If, what if Brees puts up another three productive years, and it doesn't screw us.
No, and we could build a team around that, I guess. Because
it's done so well
since the last time we did it.
It's not Breeze's fucking fault. It's all these other stupid contracts Mickey's doled out.
And a $70 million for a 38-year-old Drew Brees for 3 years would probably be another stupid contract.
Well, I'm sorry. Sign me up for that shit right now.
I know. I mean, I wouldn't write a bad blog about it.
Look, I want him as our quarterback. I don't want what's after him. I'm not looking forward to that whatsoever.
Is it better for him to go out on the high like Seinfeld or peter out and...
I don't
like
care.
Too
if we get two good years and the third year is mediocre, worth it.
True.
If he can keep us competitive for two more years after this one and the third year is just, let's say maybe he gets hurt and we suck and it just doesn't work out, so be it. Those other 2 years are worth it.
Okay. I'll agree to that. So let's move into NFL Reach Around.
You don't know the power of the dark side.
The only thing I have for this segment is the rule changes that have been announced, and the most, I guess, talked about one is that celebrations are now legal. Talking about Lance Moore and his hip-thrusting touchdown dance there. Damon, are you excited about these? What's to come?
I mean, but what do they mean? I mean... Can they now use props, or they can go to the ground?
Most of you can go to the ground now. You can use the ball as a prop, and you can coordinate with teammates.
Okay.
For a dance, you know, maybe again from the movie. What's that? That movie with the Replacements, where they had the touchdown dance, right. Like the gun, and he was like, and all the players were falling down.
I'm sure they get penalized
for that because it's promoting gun violence.
Right, right. I'm sure throat swipe or gun, gun. I'm sure they still banned that. But okay, all right. But they loosen it up and let them coordinate.
Right.
That's fine. I mean, I don't care. It's going to be stupid. You know, you're going to have guys, who are losing, 25-3 doing dances and celebrations. So good for y'all.
I wondered how you were going to react to that, because I know you, one of the things you admired about Colston was the fact that he just handed the ball to Pierre Thomas, Colston, all of them.
Classy players and classy organizations will continue to do that.
Yeah.
It's
fun. I mean, come on, whatever. It's fun. It's harmless fun.
I don't mind it if we do it. Like, if it's our touchdowns, but I don't want somebody we're playing against to.
Right. With this defense, I wouldn't expect that to.
Well, that's the problem. With this defense in the past, we've had a lot of touchdowns scored on us. That's a lot of opportunities for celebrations in our face.
All right. So the next one is, we talked about this one, I think, when it were proposed, was the leaping over the goal line or leaping over the scrimmage, line of scrimmage on a field goal.
Right. That's no longer allowed.
You cannot do that.
Right. That's good.
Yeah.
Dangerous play.
For
and
us.
You know, we all care about player safety.
All right. And another one we talked about in the past was the, all reviews will now come from New York and the VP of officiating, and not done on the sideline under the hood.
Right. They're getting rid of the hood, and the head ref will be on an iPad and communication with New York. I still believe, though, the head referee makes the final decision. You know, in coordination with New York.
Well, from now on, all NFL player replays are sent to the head office, where Alberto Rivero will listen and referee input, or he'll listen to referee input, ultimately make the decision on the field.
Okay, so he really, that's not going to last.
Well, if he's got a better view and it speeds up the process, I'm all for it. I just want the process to be sped up, and I want the calls to be right.
I like this one particular article here. It says, we'll likely find out if this rule is good or bad by week 3. That's a good comment there.
Look, college does a good job of a replay. You know, I think they should go to the college rule.
Yeah. All right. So then you got your overtime rule from 15 to 10 minutes.
Right. Speaking of college, you're doing it better. So, I mean, I think this one deserves a little discussion.
Okay.
I mean, shortening the minutes, I have no fucking clue why.
Well, because
player safety, because those last 5 minutes in overtime.
If you've got an overtime game and it goes that long, and then you got a team playing on Thursday the following week, that's
right.
I think
75 minutes is ridiculous to ask people to play. Damon, come on, 70 minutes is the top. I mean,
that is such a huge difference, right?
Right.
70s, right. I mean, first of all, and then if you look at 5 minutes of a football game, you know, 5 actual minutes, what is that? 3 plays? 4 plays?
Right.
You know.
And two of them are kneeling the ball.
Right. I mean, you know, it's, you know, look, what's the most exciting? I mean, I'm going to go to both sides of the argument.
It says here this is only going to increase the number of ties more than likely.
Right. Look, I wish they would go to a college style.
I do too. The whole, you know, like, tit for tat.
That is exciting. Exciting. And you might not start on the 25. I think college is 25, right? Mm. You know, maybe you go to the 40. You know.
Yeah, to where the field goal is not given.
Right. You know, look, come on. We all, at least I do. I like college overtime.
It's fun and exciting, but think about how, I don't know if you play it, and I know the NFL didn't care about this, but just think about how, like, certain overtime games could swing fantasy leagues. A team ends up going and ends up scoring, like, just if it they happen to score like 3 or 4 extra times in overtime, and some player scores like 70 or 80 points and just
yeah, I mean, I don't think the NFL is so much worried about fantasy.
No, the NFL doesn't care, but that's, people are going to be,
but
it, players are going to be pissed. They're on the losing end of that.
But Vegas would be,
right. Which might, Vegas could be lobbying the NFL.
You're
over under changing, you know, but Vegas
never underestimate the power of money.
You know, now I have heard some people, bitch and complain about the way the NFL does its overtime, like in the Super Bowl, because Atlanta didn't get to touch the ball.
No, that's,
and
trust
you know,
me,
everybody
Super Bowl
get to
had less a lot less to do with Atlanta not touching the ball in overtime as it did with Atlanta not doing anything with the ball for 25 minutes or for 25
right. Gagging away at 28 to 3 lead.
Of course, but they bitch about, oh, but it's unfair because both teams you don't get to touch the ball and it's all on a coin flip. But don't you have to play defense? I mean.
Yeah,
you know,
right.
I mean, they can stop teams. Right.
Well, like
right.
I said, clearly Atlanta quit playing defense in the third quarter.
And offense.
And they just quit playing altogether.
Right. They just
they thought they had won.
Yeah, they saw Arthur Blank dancing and
right. They said, We won. But enough of shitting on Atlanta, even though it's fun. But again, I just the people who say, well, you know, oh, you, both teams have to touch the ball. You know, have to touch it no matter what the outcome of the first.
But in essence, if you switch switching to the college replay, that's
then
what
they would
get.
Well, yeah. Exactly. And right. And again, you put the ball in the 40, you know, put the ball in the 40 or maybe put it on the 25. If you know, put it on the 40 the first time, let field goal, you know, attempt field goal in college for the second overtime. You can't kick a field goal, then
you
move it
to
you move it to the 25. And okay, this is how he puts it. There were 32,732 plays in the NFL last year. Only 60 in the final 5 minutes of overtime.
Huh,
so this rule affects 60 plays out of 32,000, almost 31,000.
I guess, but then you could say, well, I'm okay with shortening it to 10 because there was only 60 plays after that anyway. So,
well, right, but that's kind of what this Arthur saying is that you didn't fucking do anything, you know.
Well,
you affected 60 plays, so you didn't really. What the fuck did you do?
Yeah, so in essence, it's more of just a PR spin.
Right.
Saying they care about player safety.
Right, you know. Right.
But I mean, so, you know, we all know they don't.
So then the last thing I've got for this week's show is...
Have you seen this? Have you heard about this?
Got a few tweets on it. Definitely his mugshot is going around the internet as a fun meme. But I think the tweet that we got with the meme being the best is where they used Tiger Woods' face on Nick Nolte's mugshot. It says, for some reason, this is from Give 'Em Hell, Jimbo Rants. It said, I heard this guy blew 25 points.
You get it?
It's crazy. He actually blew 0.0. Look, it was the police report. Driving under the influence doesn't have to be alcohol. It's just the influence of something. But when Tiger came out and said alcohol was not involved after seeing his mugshot, like, I didn't believe it. I was kind of like, come on, dude, just don't lie.
That's not alcohol. No. Those beady eyes like that. Pupils so dilated.
So the police report came out. He did two breathalyzers, blew zero both times. So it actually was no alcohol involved.
So
it was all the pills he was taking. Mm-hmm. He listed, you know, four different pills, Vicodin, a couple of other pills that apparently aren't even sold anymore.
Of course not.
Yeah, and you kind of like, where did
himself
hell,
like Michael Jackson?
Right, like where the hell did he get him? Well, I believe he was connected
I know.
To A-Rod's
in
old steroid
Canada.
Dealer. Hey, buddy.
Wait, is that the same guy that was allegedly linked to Peyton Manning?
Allegedly!
No.
It's different.
Ooh, I think it's different. But he was linked to the doctor who provided A-Rod with his steroids years ago. But yeah, he was just, you know, because he had a back surgery, you know, his last back surgery was a month ago.
So here's the thing. If he's on all these drugs...
He's clearly hooked on pain pills.
Okay, so he's clearly also then not going to ever make a comeback until he's not hooked on pain pills.
Hooked on pills. Sure.
And by the time that happens...
He can get off of pills by next year. I mean, look, it's weird because he actually came out last week and said, the surgery was a success. I actually don't feel any pain in my back. It's crazy. And
well, no.
Because he was alive.
Oh, right, exactly.
I don't feel no pain.
Clearly now.
Another thing I want to bring up about this is, did y'all see that video, or not a video, a screen split of like the one version of the mugshot where his hair was all messed up, but then when Sports Center put it on there, they had like superimposed a comb over.
Yeah.
Sports Center combed his hair for him.
Yeah, I mean, his actual mugshot showed, like, the hair plugs. It's like, come on, dude, just shave it. Just pull a Jordan and just shave it.
Is it plugs?
I mean, he's definitely going bald.
He's going bald. I don't know if it's plugs, but he's definitely thinning.
He's definitely got something.
That was one of the unfair things, you know, again, the first day it happened, you know, it was reported. They're putting pictures of Tiger Woods, like, at his first Masters victory.
Oh, yeah.
compared to his fucking mugshot. You know, and say, oh, how life has changed. Well, no shit. It was 20 years ago. He was, you know, 20. You know, he was 20.
Right, he was 21 years old.
And he hit the 41. So first of all, that in and of itself, you know, makes you look horrible.
Fucking yearbook photo from freshman year to senior year.
Right. You know. So I mean, so it was really kind of, you know, they were unfair what they were trying to compare. You know, really.
Yeah.
Really, I look better at 21 than I do at 41. No shit. Water's wet and fire is hot. You know, you fucking retard. And then it doesn't help because
glass ceilings cause stronger glares in your eyeballs. Come on. Yeah.
And it doesn't help that he is going bald. And anytime we normally see Tiger, you know, we're used to seeing him at least with his
hat on.
You know, so yeah, so it's a glare. You know, and we all know bald people. You know, it you look so horrible when you're bald. You know,
I look much better when I wear a hat.
Well, you do, but even
I look like 5 years younger when I wear a hat.
Well, right. You know, you look like you're in your 50s.
Hey.
But still, it's better to go like Jason and you shave it all off, you know, than dry. When you're trying to hold on to those two hairs.
Yeah,
Homer
Simpson.
Right, you know.
My dad's still trying.
but your dad had the Captain Picard, and he kind of pulled it off, you know. Some people can pull off a Captain Picard. You know, Picard made that cool. You know, he did.
Yeah.
But like you said, he wasn't drunk. It was pills.
Hammer pills.
You kind of jumped to a big conclusion that he's addicted to them. I mean, I don't, you know.
I mean, it's you know, recovering from his surgeries. And think about it, recovering from his surgeries, he can't play golf at all. So, like, I mean, like, what else? He probably doesn't have a ton of friends. So what the fuck is he, you know? No, look, I'm serious.
That's kind of a goddamn, that's kind of a big jump. But no, but, he doesn't have a ton of friends. No one likes Tiger Woods.
I've read stories on him, you know, his the way he grew up with his father, he was more friends with his father's friends growing up. He didn't have a lot of friends his own age. He's got a handful, and he's pretty secluded, and he's kind of a dick. Like, he probably doesn't have that many friends to just
hang out with, which is why he takes these drugs. There are
stories out there about him being a dick and he's a shitty tipper, and it's kind of his father, he
refuses to pay $9 for a beer.
His father, right. Exactly.
That's cool.
His father, but so he's got all this free time on his hands that he can't spend playing golf. And he's recovering from the injuries, and it's a lot easier for him to just start taking pills and just keep taking pills and just keep taking pills.
Wow. You have just created an entire character for this guy that is based
right.
on...
He has no friends. He's an asshole. He stays at home, takes pills,
he
jerks off to the internet.
He spends a lot of time playing Call of Duty.
You know, oh, my goodness. That's why
he'll never mount a comeback.
Right.
Well, like,
I have a friend who lives in Jupiter, Florida, same place Tiger lives.
Fake news.
And their daughters are in the same league of soccer. And he said he's not a friend of Tiger. He doesn't hang out and swap spit with him.
Well, no,
but he's not a friend. I mean, Tiger doesn't have any friends.
Because Tiger doesn't have any friends, But my buddy told me, and we spoke about this today, and he said, you know, that when he has seen Tiger there, he goes, Tiger's a very friendly, interacting with everybody, and is, you know, nice as you can be. Now, I'm not discrediting what you're saying, Jason. I mean, again, we can all, put on that game face for 5 minutes in public, and obviously Tiger
smile and wave
has to do that for the last 20 years, you know. But, I mean, I'm not sure Jason's portrayal of a lonely Tiger Woods sitting in his underwear in a lonely 30,000 square foot
with his headset on playing Call of Duty.
He's Gavin Belson.
Popping pills, right. You know. That is just Jason's opinion in case Tiger hears this.
He won't.
No, but I know. Yeah, I mean, he shouldn't have done it. I mean, God, I hate to ever feel sorry for a man who, you know, who made
right,
over
who's,
a billion
who's
dollars.
Worth, right, who's worth who's half made, a $1 million.
You know, but God bless him. Look, we all go through our own struggles in life and our own demons, and money doesn't, you know, money doesn't bring happiness, obviously. But look, I have nothing against Tiger Woods, even though Jason, you and I, you know, have had the debate. I'm just saying he's over. You know, I'm just saying he's
as a
you know,
player,
he's not
as a competitor,
as a golfer, right? You know,
the pill situation doesn't have anything to do with whether he'll come back. It's all
actually,
in his physical
I think it
does. Can his body hold up?
Right,
that's all
right.
It is. Can his body?
I'm sorry, but if you're addicted to pills, or if you're
at some point he can get off of them.
Okay.
I mean, look, Jennifer Capriati had all this fame at a young age. Then she got on drugs and had some really bad things happen. But then you know what? She came back and she ended up winning another major.
How old was she when that happened?
22.
She was younger than he is now, but tennis is a difference.
By 20 years.
Right. Tennis is a different sport, as well as her field of competition.
But also golf is a different sport.
Right. So
you can still compete in your mid to late 40s if your body will allow
it. If your body will allow it, and if you're not on enough Vicodin to get you pulled over and get a DUI.
Right.
Well,
and
again, Jason, what I've told you about, it's the way Tiger, you're right. His body is broken down because of the way he played golf at a young age. You know, he went all out. The torque he put on his legs and his knees and everything
and possibly
has come back to haunt him.
And
his back, you know, allegedly. But on on his back and his knees, it's taking its toll because 40, you know, 40 is old. You know, I mean, I know.
Yeah, look up.
You know, we're just getting there, and it's like, oh, I'm not old, but yes. You know, you can't do the physical things. And then, like I said before, the competition, the guy that he is competing against now, are guys who grew up watching Tiger. There's no doubt that Tiger changed the sport of golf. And when he did it, those guys who were older than him, he came in and he revolutionized, and he was playing differently, and he smoked them, and he dominated. But now he's playing against people who came up following him.
And learned his way.
and learned his way.
Sammy.
You know, so, you know.
He's learning, not, right. He's playing right. against would, himself. Right.
I will say it will make, I mean, should he come back, you know, I mean, this, you know, you thought his infidelities was rock bottom or his injuries were rock bottom. like this is rock bottom. And eventually, you know, people are going to root for comeback stories, especially after something like this. It would all, this something like this will make the comeback that much yeah. better. If
what do you say over the
he's never going to be dominant like he was. He'll never be dominant.
He wins a major by one stroke.
But he could win whether even if he just came back and won a regular PGA event, that would right. be a huge story. Now, if he came back and won a major, clearly,
oh
it would
no,
be,
that
be,
okay. Right,
but do you
right.
see how low you're putting the bar?
I mean, it comes back and win it.
If he can come back and qualify to play on a Sunday,
right?
That would be a major accomplishment.
Right.
Well, look, I mean, he could still win.
You're not
assuming that his body will allow him to play at
that's
a
just
at
having
a good
weekend. That's not
at a good level. Okay, just stop. Let me fucking finish, asshole. You don't even know golf.
Well, I don't need to know golf for this.
I think. Look,
he doesn't know anything else
we'll
ever talk about, so why should he know anything about golf?
Yeah.
Good point. if his body will allow him to come back and be competitive again, I think he could win the Masters, because the Masters is a lot of course history. You see, hold on, you see these past Masters winners compete in their 50s because a lot of it is course knowledge. So, he's never going to win. I'll go ahead and say he's never going to win a U.S. Open.
No,
the
God,
U.S.
No.
Open is so hard. There's no chance of winning a Open. But he could.
But you look
compete and win at a
Jack
Masters.
Nicklaus, right. Jack Nicklaus was 46 when he won his last major at the Masters, you know, in 86. But I'll say that Jack wasn't as beat up as Tiger.
No, clearly.
Jack, 46, was younger than Tiger's 46.
36.
You know.
Right. I mean, he didn't have, with all the surgeries Tiger's had. Yeah, clearly. Right.
And the racket,
his body, look, the car he racket. Put a hell of a strain on his body in his youth to be the most dominant man on the course, and it came back.
He did, and we will never see that again.
The bottom of the
end. I'm gonna forego final thought. The only thing I would say though is I get the final thought. I did see Guardians of the Galaxy 2. I heard your comments on last week's show in the post credits bonus footage movie review about the Zune.
Uh-huh.
And when I did watch the movie, and the whole time I'm watching the movie, and I'm like, "Where's the Jeff joke? Like, am I supposed to have caught it by now? I mean, clearly, I don't get it. Maybe this is stupid. These guys are idiots. Whatever." And finally, at the very, very end, the Zune, and I'm like, "Son of a bitch! It's so obvious.
That's it.
You can't miss it. Can't miss it.
Right.
That was good." That was really good. And then lastly, I'll say Pirates 5, much better than Pirates 4. Welcome back to the Pirates universe. The next one's going to be a good one, I think, too.
It'll depend on how much money it makes, but I think it kind of ended at a good place.
I thought it was a fun adventure, you know, to get back into that world. I felt like Johnny Depp might have kind of overacted a bit for the first time ever in his career, I feel like. Honestly, it was a bit of a... I don't know if he's jumping. I don't think the franchise is jumping the shark, but maybe he is taking
it's close
the Jack Sparrow a little too far. Close. Like it's like, dude, you're trying too hard. Not every line has to be a home run. It was good when it was subtle, but everybody else was great.
Did he film this movie before or after his divorce?
Mm.
Maybe in the midst of.
Okay.
Right around the time. No. But he hasn't had a lot of box office success lately.
No. That's why he keeps playing Jack Sparrow.
Right. And look, Pirates made a decent amount of money here, but it made less than the last one, but it's making its money overseas. That's where it's going to make its money. So they may not make another one. But I thought it ended in a good spot. Like, if there's not another Pirates movie, I'm fine with it. It's ended in a good place.
Well, all right. That's all the show we have for you right now. Let's take a moment to thank our loyal listeners for downloading each week and telling all of your friends about the Dome Patrol podcast. You can like us on Facebook, or you can follow us on Twitter at Dome Patrol PCast. And if you don't listen to us on your podcast app, there's the old-fashioned way of listening to our show, Dome Patrol Podcast.
.com.
Say bye-bye, donkeys.
Bye-bye, cool weather donkeys.
Good night, Hoodat Nation.